We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Speaker, I wonder if you could tell us how the deliberations over support for a proposed Providence Stadium will be handled. Will this be a standalone bill or will it be part of the budget?
I don't know. At this point, I don't have a formal proposal, so let's see what comes in. Let's see if we're able to negotiate a final settlement. I hope there is a bill or a budget article that we're considering. That means that we're on our way to keeping the Poor Sox in the state of Rhode Island. That's not definitively decided at this point.
We hear you saying that you're keeping an open mind on this proposal by the Poor Sox, but under what circumstances would it be acceptable for you for the Poor Sox to leave Rhode Island? What price would be too much to pay?
I don't have the answer to that. I have to gauge the level, and I say the governor, myself, the Senate president, and I know the governor has been a leader in this effort and has hired consultants to look at the deal. You have to look at the intangibles they bring in. You have to look at what the cost is to the public, and you have to look at the public sentiment, and there's no hard formula for that. I wish there was a mathematical formula to engage in. There is not. So depending on how strong one of those elements is will determine how important it is vis-a-vis the others. So we'll see. And at the end of the day, there'll be a lot of collaboration, and hopefully the public is one of the groups collaborating in this effort, and we'll all make a decision that serves the public the best. But I think everybody in the public certainly would like to see them stay if it's at all possible.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm just wondering, the new ownership groups say they want an answer by June. Is that enough time for you and your people, the finance committee, to take a look at this deal and really evaluate it and then have open and transparent hearings at which the public could be invited?
It's a tight time frame, but it is enough time. We can get it done if there's a proposal that is cementing and that's becoming more realistic and acceptable to all parties, then we'll certainly have the time to get it done. But we're not there yet, Scott.
One of the other big issues facing the legislature is the proposed settlement of the state pension conflict. How do you expect the House to handle that? Will that be part of the budget or a separate bill?
I expect that'll be part of the budget. There'll be an impact on the budget, so I'm going to make it part of our budget discussions. It'll be a budget article, and I suspect, and I still have to collaborate with my colleagues, but speaking with my colleagues all on an individual basis, I believe that it'll be well received. It's been negotiated by all parties, and it resolves a longstanding dispute. We certainly respect our workforce, and we certainly want to protect the savings for our taxpayers, and this is a good settlement overall. If everybody agrees, we're going to turn it into a budget article and pass it.
What do you think the fate of HealthSource Rhode Island will be?
To be determined. I would say that I've insisted, and I've had good discussions with the governor. I've insisted that the cost to our taxpayers would be no more and hopefully less than it would be if we let the federal system take over. I want everybody to recognize that it doesn't become free if we get rid of HealthSource Rhode Island. The federal government imposes a tax on everybody eligible to participate, mm-hmm. whether you do participate or not, I believe, and that's something I'm looking into. I've insisted that the cost get down to that level and we create a structure that's not going to grow and balloon into the future.
We're talking here with House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello. The House has supported a few bills meant to discourage the misuse of campaign spending and campaign accounts in the aftermath of the Gordon Fox case. One bill would require elected officials to file an annual bank statement with the State Board of Elections, but this would not be a public document. Why not make this information public if it's meant to be filed with the state anyways to ensure public confidence?
Well, you don't need to make it public. I mean, there is some private information on bank statements. All of the information on the bank statement should be on the report. What we're doing is giving the Board of Elections, the state agency responsible for auditing these reports, something to reconcile the report to. So when the public looks at the report, they're essentially looking at the bank statement. You don't need to actually look at the private bank statement. It would add no value. I've decided, the House, it was one of my original ideas, myself and my majority leader, we've decided to give the Board of Elections the tools to quickly be able to have a professional accountant look look at the finance reports and determine if there appears to be a discrepancy, so we don't need to do anything else.
I'm just wondering, do you really think that Rhode Island's social programs are too generous compared to other states?
That's a very general question. Sometimes some folks think so. I've got my staff actually looking at that, and we're not, for the New England area, I don't believe we're too much more generous than everybody else. And there are some things, you know, you look at the developmentally disabled community, and everybody's heart would cry out for generous benefits. At the end of the day, you have to be competitive with your neighbors. And if we're competitive, we're doing fine.
Scituate Representative Michael Marcello was your rival last year for the speakership, and he has a bill that would allow voters the option of strengthening the State Ethics Commission to have oversight over lawmakers once again. Will we see Representative Marcello's bill get a vote on the House floor this year?
At this time, it's not something I'm planning on. And to be quite frank with you, the Finance Committee is working very hard on getting a good budget done. We had a bold budget last year, and I think you're seeing the benefits of that bold budget. Our revenues are up $60 million. Our economy is doing better. There's more activity. That's what I'm concentrating on. And I got to be quite frank with you, Ian. I have not gotten one email out of my district asking for that. You know, you've got special interests that are asking for that. It's not something that is pressing. Government is not less ethical than it was when you had the Ethics Commission oversight. There's been absolutely no difference, and we'll look at that. We'll vet that.
I know you're a skeptic on this issue, but what about the point that this was an issue backed by Rhodeanders during a constitutional convention in the 1980s? It was taken away by the state Supreme Court in a 2009 court decision. Why not give the voters the option of deciding this?
The voters just decided not to have a constitutional amendment. And if I recall correctly, ethics oversight and line item veto were very well advertised. The public voted against it. And we're not putting it on the ballot every year. I'm going to respect the public's will and decision on this. And as I've indicated, why put it on the ballot? It's not something that the public wants to revisit.
The governor's talked a lot about reinventing Medicaid, but if you look at the preliminary proposals that have come out here, it doesn't look like we're reinventing anything. We're just cutting reimbursements to the providers, the hospitals, the nursing homes, and the folks who provide it. What is your reaction to this so-called Reinvent Medicaid report that's come out?
My first reaction is that I believe you're partially correct. But in fairness, I just spoke to the governor yesterday, and I believe that the commission that they put together is making some good headway and coming up with good ideas. I haven't seen the ideas yet. Like with every proposal and every initiative, I have an open mind. We'll certainly take a look at that. We have to reinvent how we deliver services. That's usually a deliberative process that takes some time. I don't know what kind of savings we're going to get this year, but I suspect with this type of drive and initiative, and I applaud the governor for being so dynamic and working so hard on this issue, when you do that over a period of 5, 6, 7 years, you're going to see dramatic results.
Do you see the speakership as your last political job, or are you open to the idea of possibly running for another political office one day?
I love the speakership. It's the best job I could have ever hoped for. I thank my colleagues. I thank my citizens in Cranston for electing me, my colleagues in the House. It's the best job that I ever envisioned, and it's probably the last political job that I will ever hope to have. This is the pinnacle of my political career, so I'm honored to have it for as long as I have it. And it enables me to concentrate on the speakership and not to worry about my next step in the process.
Advocates say that the current laws on marijuana disproportionately affect minorities and that the state could realize a lot of revenue by legalizing marijuana. Where do you stand right now on efforts to legalize marijuana in Rhode Island?
Right now, it's not something that I'm envisioning the House looking at this year or passing this year, but I have an open mind and will consider it. You know, all ideas have their time. It just may not be the time right now. I'm not saying definitive no. I'm not saying yes.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello.
Always a pleasure to be here. I look forward to being back.